And today we saw a group of women dressed in black holding up placards in Grayston, and very emotive kind of statements there. And these women were representing POWA, P-O-W-A. And I'm sitting across from Nhlanhla Mokoena, who is Executive Director of POWA. And they are trying to highlight a new initiative today all around femicide. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good afternoon, and thanks for having me.
So you were all out in the cold, in the rain. Yes. We salute you for that. What was it about?
We were in the rain to also show South Africans that abuse does not only happen on sunny days. Mm. It happens anytime, anywhere. We were launching our newspaper called The Daily Post, mm-hmm. which has 360 incidences of abuse, all kinds of abuse that women go through, sexual abuse, physical abuse, financial abuse, and emotional abuse. We are highlighting this because yesterday we were celebrating and commemorating the 21st of March, mm-hmm. which is Human Rights Day, to say women's rights are also human rights. Mm-hmm. Therefore, yesterday when we were commemorating human rights, 360 women were also abused yesterday. And today, 360 women will be abused. So as South Africans, what are we doing about it?
Let's talk about the number. How accurate is this number?
It is accurate. POWA as an organization says we see 15 women per day who are abused. Mm-hmm. And the statistics in terms of research says a woman is abused every 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you times that 4 minutes with 24 hours, how many numbers do you get? And also if you times 15 with 24 hours, how many? Which is 360 each day.
I ask that question not to try and confuse the numbers. I mm-hmm. ask the question relating to the fact that how many women actually do come up and say, I'm abused. Mm-hmm. We are sitting with stats that we know,
yes.
and I'm not questioning that. Mm. But hypothetically, something in my gut says, surely the number is more.
Yes.
Because I can imagine that there are so many women who are ashamed to come out and speak. And there's this this misconception about the fact that women who are ashamed are people who are disempowered. It's not always the case.
Yes.
You have women mm-hmm. who are leading organizations who are also ashamed yes. to come out and say, I've been abused. So it's not only a one-sided type of a conversation and only affects a one type of a person, of a woman. So in light of all of this that we know, how is this publication going to assist a woman who is ashamed to say, I've been abused, is afraid to say I've been abused, cannot fathom a life outside of the abuse, even if it's that difficult?
We should also look at what causes women not to report. Mm. The stat says 1 in 25 women report. Mm. Why is that? Women do not report because whenever they report, we shame them. We blame them for the abuse that they are going through. And also we say abuse happens to certain women. When you are a woman, you cannot say abuse happens to illiterate women, black women, uneducated women. Abuse happens to all of us. It's just that when you are a woman who is rich, you are able to go to a private psychologist and sort out your business in private. And you do not want to speak out because your culture and the way you were raised as a girl and as a woman was that domestic violence is just that. It's domestic and it's private. Whenever you speak about it, the people that you are going to speak to about, they are going to be blaming you for what is happening to you. But then at the same time, if you are a girl that has been raised to cherish and to honor marriage, how do you then begin to talk about what is happening in your marriage mm. to people who are not supporting you? So we need to be talking about why do we always blame survivors for what is happening to them. We also need to be challenging patriarchy to say, why are we saying there's no gender equality? Why are we promoting patriarchy in our communities? So we need to challenge that. We also need to challenge socialization. The way we are being socialized as girls is the way that oppress us as women when we get older, because we are not told from a very young age to be confident, to love ourselves, to also speak out. Because whenever you speak out, whether you are speaking out to men or women, you will be challenged or you will be blamed for speaking out. So it's important that we all support each other, and whoever speaks out to you, if you cannot support or hear them out, then refer them so that they can be assisted. You also need to deal with the issues of secondary victimization. Mm-hmm. When someone speaks out at a police station, she should not be judged. She should not be turned away. When someone speaks out at a court, that person should not be judged. That person should be provided with services. It is important that all survivors are treated with dignity and respect. Then they will begin to speak out. And whenever they speak out, wherever they speak out, whether it's a clinic, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a radio station, whether it's a newspaper, whether it's just an individual that you know, just listen. And if you cannot assist, refer them to where they will be assisted.
You know, I hear that, and I'm grappling with the fact that as we speak, as a society, you have women organizations mm-hmm. advocating for woman protection, mm-hmm. but we don't have a society mm-hmm. advocating for woman protection. Mm-hmm. And I give you my example. We had a case not so long ago, a few days ago, where the children that had reported rape in the school, and investigations have happened, and it's a very high-profile case, by the way. The person who was given the role of assisting them, mm-hmm. of guiding them and protecting them, himself became the perpetrator. Somebody who stood there in uniform, representing our country's police force, mm-hmm. right? If he felt he was emboldened enough to do that with a profile as high as that we saw in that case, something else is wrong with our society, because he felt he could still go ahead and commit the same crime with a case that high profile. Something says to me we're missing the mark on how to address this. And again, another example, we've got somebody sitting in Parliament now who we know abused women in a club and so on. And then you have the deputy president saying yesterday, we don't have a dustbin for people like him. I'm just saying, with the work that you do, I'm grappling with, is this enough? Is the publication of a newspaper enough? What else needs to be done?
It's not enough. Mm. Impunity is a problem in our country. When you find the people who are supposed to be serving and protecting being the violators, if they are not held accountable, they are going to continue to violate. Even those who have not abused, but they are thinking about it, they are going to abuse because they know that I can abuse in South Africa and I can get away with it. Our laws are not implemented properly. And whenever we have to prosecute abusers, we either take a long time or we give them a slap in the wrist, like saying to an MP, someone who can afford to pay a fine, to say you are only going to pay a fine and you are going to be an MP. By doing such things as a country, it shows that we do not take violence against women and girls seriously. By a country that does not have a national action plan that is costed means that we are not taking violence against women and girls seriously. If we have a costed NSP, we can then use our August and our 16 days to be reflecting on the programs that we have implemented and what has worked and what has not worked. But as a country currently, because we don't have something that is leading us in terms of what we should be doing, then it's difficult for us to hold each other to account, civil society, private sector, media, and organizations like Power. Organizations like Power will never do enough because they also struggle for funding on a daily basis. It is a good initiative. It's raising awareness. It is saying to all of us, let abuse be on our agenda on a daily basis. But because of funding, we are also going to be producing this once off. Unless someone out there comes up and say, I want to be part of this publication and we can publish it on a regular basis. So those are the challenges that civil society that is addressing violence against women and girls in this country is experiencing. But unless we deal with the issue issue of impunity, whether you are a policeman or woman, whether you are a court clerk, whether you are a social worker, if you do not treat people that you are supposed to be serving with dignity and respect, there needs to be repercussions. But in this country, most of the time, people are condoned for doing abuse.
What's your relationship as power with, for instance, the ANC Women's League and the Women's Department Ministry in the presidency?
The Department of Women under Minister Shabangu, our relationship with them was very strained, because as civil society organizations, power and other organizations, we drafted a national shadow report that talks to what are we proposing as civil society as a national action plan. We wanted to engage with the department on several occasions in terms of, this is a shadow report, we are not saying use this report, but we are saying let us engage as to what are the things that we need to put in place to end violence against women and girls in our country, taking into consideration that not only violence against women but gender-based violence, because women in all our diversity, we are experiencing abuse on a daily basis. But the engagements were never fruitful. Up to a point now, we are saying, calling on the new minister to say, yes, we congratulate her on her new position, but we also want the issues that we have put on the table to be taken seriously. Let us as a country stop talking about we are affirming, we are going to do something about abuse, but there is no action. So as a country, we really need to act and do something to end violence against women.
Did you really congratulate her, Nhlanhla? I mean, did you not look at the credentials of this individual and look at the fact that you have a woman out there who has not stood up for the woman?
She was in a department where she did not perform, but our president, who also has a shadow report on the NSP, it's on the president's table as I speak to you. The president was giving the national shadow report that was drafted by civil society to say this is a problem in terms of gender-based violence. But the president also appointed her. So we are saying to the minister, look at what we are putting on the table as civil society. Let us start working on this shadow report and implementing things that we need to implement out there. So we are saying, yes, Minister, you are a new minister, but look at the things that are troubling us and take them seriously, because previously they were never taken seriously.
I'm saying this, and I'm pushing you on this one, Nhlanhla, because I'm saying you can't say to me because she was sitting in a portfolio where she didn't perform. I could put that aside. I'm speaking about her as a woman who did not stand up for the rights of women. And we have seen that countless times where I'm expecting power to say, well, hold on a minute. This candidate is not fit to be sitting on that role because we need action.
Yes, that is the role of power and others.
Have you criticized that role? I mean, have you criticized a candidate sitting on that role?
We have a civil society together with other civil society organizations to say, why do we always, as a country and as women's rights organization, are giving people that who are not going to be able to give us what we want as civil society organizations.
Okay, I'm speaking to Nhlanhla Mokoena, who's executive director at Power. They had a protest today at Greyston. I'm sure you may have seen them if you are around Sandton. Black and with placards, and basically this is to launch the it's called The Daily Abuse. It's a newspaper publication, and it was distributed around Gauteng. It was distributed in other parts of the country as well, and all of this is in light of trying to give us some sense of what women are going through. So this publication will be giving us stories, and it is a view on 360 stories per day of women who've been abused. And they're trying to highlight the fact that 365 women per day are abused in this country. Every 4 minutes, a woman is abused in this country, and they need your attention. I'm in conversation with the executive director of Power, and that's Nhlanhla Mokoena, who's in studio with me. They launched a campaign this morning, in fact, a publication. It's called The Daily Abuse, and they are trying to highlight to us that every 4 minutes, a woman in this country is abused. We did have a conversation about the numbers earlier on, but that's besides the point. The point is we have a crisis in our hands, and I'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702. Let's go quickly to Dumi in Boksburg. Hi, Dumi.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for calling, Dumi. I'm fine, very much.
So thank you for having Nhlanhla on the show. I think for me, as a former domestic violence survivor, if you will, but also a health professional. I wonder whether we're not focusing on the wrong things. Now, I can appreciate what the newspaper will bring, the awareness and such, but are we not focusing too much on the already known? We already know that women are being abused, and I'm grateful that you raised the point around numbers earlier on, because half of the time the number is incorrect, because it's much, much more than that. The awareness is there, but not. So many women are shying away, and it's easy to shy away. I wonder if it wouldn't be a little bit more helpful to start highlighting how many organizations are working on the men, how many organizations have achieved to get men to deviate from the patriarchy mentality, the mentality that has gotten us to this point, the upbringing that have failed us repeatedly. So yeah, I think that's, I mean, I can appreciate where the newspaper is coming from, and the works of power, but are we not focusing on the wrong thing?
Let me ask you this, Tumi, because I think organizations like Power struggle with this. As somebody who has survived woman abuse in your home, what is it that you would love to see them do more of so that they can get your support?
Building men differently, building homes. I think we are on crisis mode all the time, and we're trying to solve a problem. But the problem starts way back. Instead of being curative, to think of being more preventative, you telling me on a daily basis that another 300 and whatever women have been abused, in essence, only builds more anger. In essence, only makes me think, really? So the aim is, tell me how we're building the men to think and feel and act differently. Tell me how we are looking at that little boy who's angry because he's hungry and then turns to some other type of violence, or who's looking to the fact that the woman who's sitting in power up there also holds my mentality. So, hey, why not? Why not resort to violence in whatever form or...
Thanks very much for that, Tumi. You know, I can hear what the problem is with Tumi. She is so frustrated that she's finding it even difficult to articulate what it is that she's trying to say. And I think for many of us South Africans, for many of us women, it's a difficult conversation to be had, because you get angry. You get mad at the fact that, why are we going on and rehashing the same stuff that we already know? And what can be done different to make this go away or make it better? We're not moving an inch from where we were 5 years ago, from where we were 10 years ago. Something is not happening. And what it is that needs to happen to get us to the next step, to see the difference. And my frustration is, there's a lot of talk. There's money being thrown at the issue, and so many organizations coming up. The work that you do is so important, but it's not changing the patterns of how men are behaving.
We are not going to change how things are in South Africa if we do not work together in terms of all sectors. I said to you, currently we do not have a national action plan that is costed. A national action plan does not only speak to an organization like Power, which also is struggling to survive, to provide holistic services to the very survivor that we are saying we are assisting on a daily basis. With the NSP, it's organizations working with men and boys, it's organizations working with women and girls, working together to say, this is our proposal to the country, to say, this is how we can end violence against women and girls. We are not only saying, look at the women and girls, we are saying we need to look at the men and boys, we are saying we need to look at parenting programs so that we can deal with the issue of patriarchy and inequality and the issue of socialization. But if we don't have an integrated program that speaks to all the drivers of violence against women and girls, we are always going to be on crisis mode. We are going to be reactive and not proactive. Organizations are struggling to come up to implement prevention programs because everything needs money. You are saying money is being thrown. Mm. Which money is being thrown? Because since 2009, and South Africa has been declared a middle income country. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for organizations like Power to even get funding. We survive on an annual basis based on funding that we get on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. How do you even begin to plan for the next 10 years and say, this is what we are going to do? How do we even begin based on the work that we are doing currently to be saying we are going to implement programs that are dealing with men and boys as an organization? So you see, when we have an integrated NSP that talks to all the sectors, that is costed, then all of us, whether you are an individual, you are private sector, you are an NGO, you are a church, you are a traditional leader, you can get involved in your own way in terms of how do I also make my mark and make sure that I lend a hand in terms of ending this scourge in our country. But currently, we are operating in silos because we are struggling for funding. We are competing for funding. So those are the things that we need to take into consideration. She spoke about organizations that are addressing men and boys. It's only two that I know that are dealing with that. Most people, when you talk violence against women and girls, who are they referring to? They are referring to Power. Where is Power? Mostly in Johannesburg. We are not in the whole country. Who are the other players in the whole country that we can work with to ensure that we end the scourge in our country?
What it sounds like to me is that we have not unpacked enough the challenges that organizations like yourselves have. And until we do that, we have not yet to empower you. So it sounds to me like we need to go very deep in unpacking the issues that literally crippled you from doing the work that you do. Mm-hmm. But for now, I just want to thank you for coming in. I want to thank you for taking the step. I know it's not enough, but I do want to acknowledge the fact that you've done something. Thank you very much for coming in, Ndlandla. Ndlandla, thank you much for coming in, Ndlandla. Ndlandla Mokoena, who is Executive Director of POWA, and they have just published today a newspaper called The Daily Abuse. It will also be on your websites and stuff. So go online and you can get a publication every single day.